Today's daf is Psachim daf Dalet. Okay, we're going to begin with the very top of daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says again we're talking about situations where someone refrained from saying bad news directly. Rav Barachui Rav Chia Bar Achzei. So Rav was the nephew of Rav Chia. He was his father was Ivo, and he was the brother of Rav Chia on the father's side. He was also the nephew from, I guess, on both sides. Both the uncle, Ivo was the father of Rav, and from the father's side, that's what Rashi says. And also the mother, who was the mother of Rav, was the sister of Rav Chia, from the mother's side. Kisalik lahasab, when Rav went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Lei, Ivo Kayam. So Rav Chia asked, he said, is your father Ivo still alive? Amar Lei, Ima Kayemes. Why don't you ask me if my mother's alive? Amar Lei, Ima Kayemes, your mother alive? Amar Lei, Ivo Kayam. Why don't you ask if your is my father alive? So from this, Rav Chia understood in both instances that both the father and the mother died. Amar Lei Lishamei Chalutz Li Min Alai V'Holei Kelei Acharei LeBeis HaMerchatz. So Rav Chia said to a servant, "Remove my shoes, like the custom of Avelus, and also take my clothing to the Beis HaMerchatz because I want to go to the bathhouse." So we're going to explain why he did that. Shmamina Tlas. So we learn three things from this. Shmamina Avel. We see that an Ovel is not allowed to wear leather shoes because he told him to remove his shoes. And we also learned that a Shmur Rechokah, that if you hear about someone's death after 30 days, there's no Shiva, there's only Yom Echad. A few times I've had this question. Someone was very elderly, and the question was, do you let the person know about a relative who passed? And they weren't totally with it. It was difficult for them to sit Shiva. They sort of made a calculation to actually wait to tell the person after 30 days, and then it switched from being a Shiva to a one day Avelus. Shmamina Mixium Kukulo. And we also learned that part of the day cleared the whole day. So we normally hold like that when it comes to when you sit Shiva, so you get up in the beginning of the seventh day, like right after davening, let's say the seventh day in the morning, you sit Shiva for a couple minutes after davening, and then you get up. Here he's saying that for a Shmur Rechoka, which is only one day, also mixes Yom Kukulo. You take off your shoes, you sit a little bit, and then you can go to the bathhouse afterwards, because an Avo doesn't go to the bathhouse. So you can go to the bathhouse afterwards, you know, a little bit later, so mix the Yom Kukulo. The Gemara continues. Now the Gemara is giving stories where basically you can tell from someone's speech where he comes from. So one person said, take me to court. He always wanted to go to litigation. He always wanted to go to Beis Din. Amri Shmamina Don Kasa. He obviously comes from Shevet Dan. Nitzchiv Don Yodinam Kachat Chief Yisrael, because Don is a judge. Hahu the Havakaz of Amar Akif Yama Asisne Biriasa. He said, if I had a palace, I would put it by the beach. They went and they found out that he comes from Zvulun. Why did he Zvulun l'chof yamin yishkom? That Zvulun lives by the beach. Now, what's interesting is that there's a difference between the first story and the second story. This is the Bnei Yoyada says this, that in the first story, they concluded without investigating that he must be from Shevet Dan. In the second story, they investigated and they found out that he comes from Shevet Zvulun. So the Ben Yoyada says that people aren't litigious. It's not normal to always want to go to Beis Din. So therefore, this guy wants to go to Beis Din. He obviously comes from Shevet Dan. He's obviously different. However, regarding Zvulun, everyone wants, just because someone wants to have a house by the beach, a lot of people want to have houses by the beach. It's not a proof necessarily that he's from Zvulun. Therefore, only after they investigated, they found that he's from Zvulun. Now the Gemara is going to now return to our discussion of Bedikas Chametz. Now that we hold that the Or in our Mishnah refers to Ursa, refers to night. Michti, Bein the Rabbi Hud, Bein the Rabbi Meir, Chometz Eino Aser, Elo Shei Sha'os, Ulamala, Nivdok B'shis. So if at the end of the day, we say you have to do Bedikas Chometz at the night. So regarding the debate between Rabbi Hud and Rabbi Meir, which is from what hour did the Chachamim make a harchaka? Did they say, you know what? Really, the prohibition is from Chatzos. You can't eat Chametz from midday of Erev Pesach. So maybe wait an extra hour when you can't eat Chametz. Or wait an extra 2 hours when you can't eat Chametz before Chatzos, before midday on Erev Pesach. So Chametz is only Aser. And destroying the mitzvah of Chametz is only after the sixth hour. So why are we searching for Chametz the night before? Why don't you search for Chametz the morning of Pesach? Right before Chatzos in the morning. So Gemara wants to say, the Chitim, if you want to answer Zerizim Magdim in the mitzvos, that you should try to do mitzvos as early as possible. So do it the earliest on the night of the 14th when the day begins. So Nivdok Pesafra, why don't you search for Chametz from the morning? Dichsiv, V'yom HaShemini Yimo Basar Allah. So V'tanya, Kol Yom Kulo Kasher L'Mila. Elo She Zerizim Magdim in the mitzvos. We find precedent for the concept of Zerizim Magdim in the mitzvahs by what? By the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The mitzvah of Bris Milah is on the eighth day, and the whole day you could do Bris Milah. But the Braisa says that Zerizim Magdim in the mitzvahs, but they don't say, oh, Zerizim Magdim in the mitzvahs, so therefore let's do it the night before. No, we say Zerizim Magdim in the mitzvahs, and you do Bris Milah in the beginning of the day. Because it says Vayashkim Avram Boker. The Avram got up early, to do the Akedah, so we see that Zerizim Magdim the Mitzvos means do it from first thing in the morning. So if you want to say Zerizim Magdim the Mitzvos, so therefore do it early, why are we doing Bedikas Chametz the night before? Do it the morning of the 14th. The Chachamim were metakim, that we search for Chametz on the night, because that's when people are found in their homes. And also a second reason, Orinei Yafal Bedika, and the light of the candle is good for Bedika at night, not so good during the day. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, since we should do Bedikas Chametz in the beginning of the night, Talmud Chacham should not begin his study, his permanent, fixed study, at this time, sort of towards the end of the 13th, leading into the night of the 14th, because maybe you're going to be so engrossed in your Torah study, then asilim nubim mitzvah, you're going to forget, you're going to refrain from doing this mitzvah according to the proper halacha. Boy minei, Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak. So now Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak asks the following question: Amaskir by the chaver bar Basar, almi livdok, ala maskir livdok the chamir di dehu, odim ala socher livdok the yisur b'yishusakai. Basic question: you're a landlord, you lease out your house to another person. Who has to search for chametz, the landlord or the tenant? Now, we mentioned that there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. What's the purpose of Bedikas Chametz? Is it that you're not going to own the Chametz? Or you search for Chametz so you won't come to eat it? So many Achronim ask that shouldn't that this question about who has to search for Chametz be dependent on the question above as to what the purpose of Bar Rabbi Yamatzah is, of Bedikas Chametz is. If the purpose of Bedikas Chametz is that you shouldn't violate the prohibition of Bal Yirah Bal Yematzeh, so I would say what? The landlord should have to search for the Chametz, because if he doesn't search for the Chametz, he's going to own the Chametz. Chametz is his. If you say like Tosfos, the purpose of Bedikas Chametz is that you're not going to come to eat the Chametz, so I would say the tenants living there, Bedikas Chametz is that you shouldn't come to eat it. So some of the Achronim say that it's true, you could connect it to that. However, you could say that maybe, even though maybe the reason might be search for chametz, you don't come to eat it, nevertheless, when the rabbis made the rule of search for chametz, even though the motivation might be so you don't come to eat it, when the rabbis made the takana that you have to do bedikas chametz, maybe they said it's always the one who owns the house. In other words, the reason might not necessarily be connected to their blanket rule, and they just make a blanket rule, and they might say that in other words, the you don't have to say that the reason is necessarily connected to the formulation of the takana, because sometimes takanos are sort of blanket rules and they don't necessarily fit into every the reason. Although it would be a beautiful split to understand that machlokas like that. In any case, that's the question. Do you say that the landlord has to search for chametz because the chametz belongs to him, or does the tenant have to search for chametz because it's in his reshus, it's in his control right now? Okay, so tashma. So we come in here. We want to resolve the suffix from that which we learned in the brisa. Let's say I rent out a house to you, so you have to make the mezuzah. You have to put up the mezuzah. We see that the obligation of the mitzvah of the house devolves upon the tenant and not on the landlord. So I would say also here that the tenant also should have to search for the chametz. Gemara says that's not a good proof. No. Mezuzah is different. Mezuzah, the obligation is specifically on the one who's living in it. It's not a chovas habayit. It's not an obligation on the house. It's an obligation on the one who's living in it. So that clearly, the mezuzah is on the obligation of the tenant. But here, not so clear. Because chametz, upon whom did the chachamim place the burden of searching for chametz? On the landlord, because the chametz belongs to him? Or on the tenant, because he's considered the owner of the house when it comes to bedikah, because it's now in his control. Amar lehu Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Tanina. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, we have a brisa, which says the following. Hamaskir b'ayis l'chaveiro, if I lease a house to you. Ima chelo maser lo maftechos chal arba'asar ala maskir libdov. If I did not give over the keys to you before the night of the 14th, then ala maskir libdov. Okay, so then I, the landlord, would have to search for the chametz. Because if I don't give you the keys, so now I'm in control of the house, and therefore I would have to do bedikas chametz at the time when the obligation begins, which is when? The beginning of the night of the 14th. However, if I already gave you the keys to the house before the night of the 14th, comes the night of the 14th, the obligation, upon whom does it devolve? On you, on the tenant. So that's the answer. Bo minei mi Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asks the following question. Let's say that I rent out my house to you on the morning of the 14th. So can you presume that I've searched for the chametz and therefore you don't have to do bedikas chametz? Or do we say maybe? No, maybe there's no presumption that the house has been searched. Someone says, my nafka mina. What's the practical difference whether it's cheskasu badik or not, whether you can assume that the house has been checked or not? Lishailu, lay, just ask me. Why don't you ask me, did I do bedikas chametz? So the answer, the Gemara says, okay, so the case we're talking about, the leisi lahai dili shayule, that I'm not around. I'm not around so that you can ask me. I don't have, you've been calling me, you've been emailing me, you've been texting me, WhatsApping me, all different things, and I haven't responded. Latruchi lahai mai. Do we burden you, the tenant, to search for the chametz in this situation of doubt? Amalu Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to them, "Tini tuha." We learn in a brisa. Hakol ne'amonim al biru chametz. Filu nashim, filu avodim, filu ketanim. Everyone is believed on the day of the 14th regarding that the owners the night before search for the chametz. Even women, even slaves, even children. My time of mehemne. What's the reason why all these groups, categories of people are believed to testify on bedikas chametz? They are not. They cannot be edim. They cannot be halach witnesses. So Gemara says, "La mishum the cheskasu baduk." Is it not because, in any case, cheskasu baduk, where there's a presumption that the house has been searched, because savar akol chaverim hemetzol bedikas chametz, that everyone is considered quote unquote a chaver. What's a chaver? A chaver is someone. This is really in tuma and tahara terms when it comes to ritual purity, ritual impurity. A chaver is someone who accepts upon himself specific practices when it comes to tuma and tahara, and also with maestros, that he's very careful. So apparently, we want to assume that the brisa must hold that when it comes to bdikas chametz, everyone's like a chaver. Everyone is very meticulous about searching for chametz, and therefore, and right, the Tanya chaver shemes. So what's an example of chaver? So chaver essentially is someone who is trustworthy that to separate maaseros and he dies. Vidich magura malei peiros, and he leaves a granary full of fruit. I feel him b'nei yoma, even if on that day they were made in a pile, and then you're chayav and maaser. So the way it works, by the way, you're not chayav in Meiser. You don't have to separate Meiseros, Trumas and Maseros, unless there's been what's called Meruah. Unless, what did you do? You harvested the crops and you collected them together and you put them in a pile and you smoothed out the pile. Right? In other words, the Mishnah in Meiser says that you're only chayav when Tigmar Malachta, when there's Gemar Malacha. And that's what's like basically putting them in a pile and smoothing the pile up. So even if it happened on that day, then we can presume that the Trumas and Maaseros have been taken. Why? Because the Chaver does not, leave, finished produce, like he doesn't let it leave his sight unless he has separate Trumas and Maaseros. So here also maybe. So here we're suggesting also by Vedikas Chametz that if you rent the house for me on the day of the 14th, then we're not suspected that I didn't search for the Chametz. And since the house is Becheses Baduk, so even an Eved Isha or Katan are trustworthy to testify that it was searched. Or says, no, that's not a good proof. We might. How do you know that they're trustworthy? Because there's a presumption the house has been searched. Dilma, Shani Hacha, Mishum the Kamri Hadi. No, maybe specifically here. That you're exempt from bedika because we rely on what the nashim, the women of avodim, and the children say that they saw that the balabai searched for the chametz, but without their speech, then we would not say that the bias, the house has been presumed to have been searched. So atu, the Gemara asks this atu amira dahane mide mashasha isbe. Wait a second. Do you mean to say that the speech of these children actually have substance? We can't rely on a child's speech. So obviously, the fact that the Gemara said, that the Brisa says that we rely on the speech of the children, what must it mean? It must mean that the reason we're relying on the speech of these people is because that the house is considered baduk, is considered search, even without their speech. So the Gemara says, but they're going to try to reject this also. Elamai deches katsu baduk. So what are you going to say? It's presumed to have been searched. Hai hakol ne'amonim. Kol habati mecheskes baduk barbasa min baye. But wait a second. If you want to say that this is the halacha, that if you rent the house on the 14th, we assume that the house has been searched. So the fact that the Braisa says hakol ne'amonim, everyone is believed to say that the house is being considered searched, it shouldn't have said that. What should it have said? It should have said kol habati becheskes baduk barbasar min baye. It should have said that all houses are considered baduk, are considered search on the 14th. It should not have used the language of they're all believed to say that the house has been searched. The fact that the Brisa says that everyone is believed to say the house has been searched means that there's some, we give some credence to the actual speech. And it's not sufficient just simply to say that there's a presumption that has been searched. Elamai, so rather what? But you say mishum damira dahani, that it's because of the speech of these people that we do rely on their testimony with respect to bedikas chametz. Holo amri hani lo, that but if they would not say that the house has been searched, then you would not be exempt. So tivshut minei the ein cheskas ubarik. So actually, you can prove from this brisa that a house is not presumed to be searched unless there's some speech, even by Nashim Avadim Ketanim, that it has been searched. So the Gemara responds, lo, no, it's not a proof that way either. Lo olam emalach shechaz katsu baduk. Really, I would tell you that a house that you rent on the morning of the 14th, the presumption is that it has been searched. V'achol ba'yiskino, what do we talk about here? The muchsak lon, the lo baduk. Let's say it's our situation in the Brisa is talking about a case where you know for sure the Bala Bias did not search for the Chametz. Okay, because you saw, let's say, that he wasn't around that night, or he left on a trip. V'kam rihani bad kide. And these people say, well, we searched the house. Ma'u detema lo lehem ninhu rabbanon. You might say, don't believe these people. Kamash malan. The Brisa tells us, kima de bedikas chametz mid rabbanon hu. Since bedikas chametz is only a rabbinic obligation, because midat Torah, right? There are two ways that we cease our relationship with chametz before Pesach. One, or there are actually three, but forget about sale of chametz. But halachically, we have at least two right now that we're discussing. One is bittul, you just say, you just nullify the chametz. And number two is that you search and destroy the chametz. So from the Torah, if you do bittul chametz, that's sufficient. So the obligation to do bedikas chametz only be drabbanon. So therefore, heimnuhu rabbanon birabbanon. So therefore, since bedikas chametz itself is only a rabbinic obligation, so the rabbis then said that you can rely on these categories of people to believe them who are normally not who normally don't their edus is not valid. What's interesting is that some of the Rishonim say that the reason why women might not, Tosa says the reason why women might not be believed to say that when it comes to bedikas chametz, you know, and that is the only reason why we have a woman that she searched for chametz in this instance, because the chiyuv is only drabbanan. Would mean to say if it's a doraisa, we would not believe a woman. Why wouldn't we believe a woman? We believe a woman, let's say, when you come home and you eat dinner and she says, oh, the food I bought from the store is kosher. So there we believe it, because it's not a big deal to go to the kosher store and buy the food. But the search for chametz, that's a lot of work. And Tosa says a line that Nashim Atzlaniyosim, they're a little lazy when it comes to bedikas chametz. I want to point out that the Achronim say that nowadays that chazaka has changed, that women now are actually, maybe in the days of Tosfos, that women didn't take bedikas chametz that seriously. Nowadays, many Achronim write that women are actually more meticulous than men, at least, if not more, when it comes to searching for chametz. Okay, the Gemara says the following. Ibar lahu, the Bnei Yeshiva asked the following question. So let's say that you rent chametz from I lease a house to you when it was presumed to be badik. And then you find that it was not searched. Like I said to you, I leased it to you when there was a presumption that it was searched, and then you find out no, it wasn't searched, and you come to me and you say, oh, had I known that the house wasn't searched and I have to do a whole bedikas chametz, I never would have rented the house from you. So mahu, what's halacha? Is this sufficient to invalidate the lease? Mihavi kemechach tos, is this like a mechach tos? This is an invalid sale because I leased the house to you with the representation that the house has been searched. And this is a material breach of the contract. Although, or we say no, it's not a mechach tos. We're not invalidate the lease. So Tashmak Tomar Abaye Lomi Bay Basra Deloyavi Agro Batku. So Abaye wants to say in resolving this question, certainly in a So Abaye says certainly in a place where you don't pay people to. Where you don't pay people to search for chametz, but everyone does it by themselves. That's not a mekach tos. That a person would, let's say I rent the house to you. Yeah, I told you it was baduk. Yeah, but you're okay. In other words, where you wouldn't have to hire someone. So then we would assume that you would be willing to. You would be willing to search the house for chametz, so it's not an invalid sale. Ella afilu ba'asud yavi agrobatku. But even in a place where we say that, you know what, that to do bedikas chametz, you would hire someone. It's a lot of work. So never, we would say the same thing as well. Because even though I leased the house to you and I told you, don't worry, it's already searched, and you find that it's not searched, and therefore you have to spend money to do bedikas chametz, people are willing to spend money to do a mitzvah. Tanan Hasa, the Gemara now wants to bring the source for the. And this we're gonna start this conversation today and continue it tomorrow. The Gemara now wants to clarify the source that the time of destroying the chametz, the mitzvah of tashbisu, that you have to destroy the chametz on a Torah level, is midday. Now we do a harchaka. We say that you should burn the chametz an hour early and you can't eat chametz 2 hours early. But from a Torah perspective, the mitzvah of that you have to have all the chametz being destroyed, that is from midday of the 14th. So Tanan Hasam, we learned over there Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chamesh V'Sarfim Tchilas Shesh. Rabbi Meir says that we could eat the chametz the first 5 hours of the day of the 14th of Nisan, and you can burn the chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour, and you should burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, and you should not wait until the beginning of the seventh hour, because then it's Asur Min HaTorah. And the Chachamim say that, you know, people can sometimes make mistakes. They didn't have clocks in those days. They might make a little mistake about when midday is. So he says, okay, you have to burn it an hour early. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba, Baton Kol Chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda says that throughout the entire fifth hour, you cannot eat it, and you don't have to burn it. It's still permitted to derive benefit from it. You can still feed it to your animals. Because we're concerned when it comes to the prohibition of eating, which is the stricter concern, that you're going to make a mistake with 2 hours, and therefore, you burn in the beginning of the sixth hour. So Rabbi Huda, that we follow Rabbi Huda, that we stop eating chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour, like a halachic hour before chatzos, and we stop eating 2 hours before, 2 halachic hours before chatzos. So the Gemara now asks the following. So everyone agrees that chametz is forbidden from at least after 6 hours, from after chatzos. Everyone agrees. The only debate is how much of a harchaka, how much of a distance did the rabbis place on you so you won't make this mistake and mistakenly eat after the sixth hour, after the end of the sixth hour, after chatzos. So now, Menahem, what's the Torah source that on Erev Pesach there is a prohibition of eating chametz? So Amar Abaye says, Trei Kroi Ksivi. Okay, so there are two psukim that are written when it comes to chametz. Ksiv, number one, it's written in Parshas Bo, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes. Shivas Yamim Seor Lo Yimatzei Bevatecha. For 7 days, Seor, that's yeast, cannot be fed in your houses. Ksiv Achbi Yomar Rishon Tashvish Seor Bevatecha. And then on the first day, you have to destroy the Seor. So how can it be? These two psukim seemingly contradict each other. Why? Because in the first pasuk says that you can't even have chametz even in the first moment of the seventh day of the Pesach. Because it says for a full 7 days you can't have chametz. However, the second pasuk says ach b'mash rishon tashmisu. What does that seem to mean? It means that at some point during the first day you have to destroy chametz, which seems to indicate what? You don't have to destroy it right away, which seems to indicate that you can have chametz perhaps even into the first day of Pesach. So they seem to contradict each other. So must be the rabbis are brought to the beer. So obviously, Bayom HaRishon cannot refer to the first day of Pesach. So it must include somehow the Yom HaRishon has to refer to not the first day of Pesach, the 15th, but it must refer to the day before the days of Pesach. In other words, the 14th. So at some point during the 14th, you have to destroy chametz from your house. That's what the second pasuk must mean. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If you want to say the Biyom HaRishon refers to the 14th, Aim of the Rabbos Leile Chamisha Shalabir. Maybe it means that what? That you have to destroy the chametz when on the night of the fifth, on the night of the, why do you say Biyom HaRishon? Maybe comes to include the night of the 15th for the beer. The Sokotay de Chamina, Yomim Ksiv, Yomim Im Leilos Lo. Kamash Balon, I feel Lelos. So maybe from the Pasuk Shivas Yamim, that seems to mean what? 7 days of Pesach. That the prohibition of not having chametz is from the daytime of the first day. And Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu tells you that at night of the first day, right, that even the night of the first day, you have to destroy chametz. Maybe that's what the second Pasuk comes to tell you. So the Gemara says, "Ahu lo itzchele." No, the pasuk doesn't need to tell us this. Why? Daha iskash hashpasa soor lachilas chametz, vachilas chametz lachilas matza. That the Torah connects the mitzvah of destroying soor to the mitzvah to the prohibition of eating chametz and the prohibition of eating chametz to the obligation to eat matza. Let me just read another couple of lines. Hashbasa seor lachilas chametz. Tichsiv shivas yamin soor liyamatzi vatechem kichol ochel machmetzitz v'nichrasa. The pasuk says 7 days you can't have chametz in your houses because if you eat chametz, you'll get kares. So we're connecting. So from the time that chametz is forbidden to eat it's even forbidden to have in your possession. V'achilas chametz achilas matzah. And we connect the prohibition to eat chametz with the obligation to eat matzah. D'chsiv. Komach metzis lo tochelu. That you can't eat any chametz. B'chomosh v'osechem tochlu matzos. That you should eat matzah. So therefore, from the time that the obligation of eating matzah begins, that's when the prohibition to eat chametz. V'chsiv be matzah be'erv tochlu matzos. And the Torah says explicitly that on the night, that on the night of the 15th, you have to eat matzah. So if the night of the 15th, you have to eat matzah based on a hekesh, you cannot eat chametz from that point, which is when? The night of the 15th. And based on the other hekesh, from the night of the 15th, you cannot eat chametz. So from the night of the 15th, you also cannot have chametz in your reshus. And therefore, Bayom HaRishon cannot tell you, oh, to teach you, I wouldn't have known that it's usher from the night of the 15th. So therefore, it must come to tell you that you have to start chametz from the 14th. Now, why the midday of the 14th? So again, we have to continue the conversation on Daf Hey, God willing, tomorrow.